Well, good evening. I like Alan this morning got a call. I got mine this afternoon that Sid was not going to be able to make it tonight. And so I'll be presenting a lesson for us. So we're going to be looking at the passage in the book of Proverbs tonight and try to draw some thoughts from this. One of the things that I've noticed, and I'm sure you've noticed if you've lived any length of time, life is not easy. We might have temporary stretches of things going pretty well and have some rest from difficulties, but that's going to end, and nobody's immune from the difficulties that are going to come to us in this life. There are going to be the complexities of circumstances, of relationships, and health, and there are always going to be difficulties come to us. And these problems can range from simple annoyances like a flat tire on the way to work in the rain to a overwhelming complexity such as serious illness or a rupture of a special relationship. Those are the kinds of troubles that come upon us in our life, and we just cannot avoid those. They're going to be with us. Sometimes people think that when they become Christians, all these problems are going to go away. But unfortunately, problems are just a part of living in this life. Difficulties that we have are just things we face as a result of living. Of course, some mornings we wake up and we hope that this day won't bring any problems and we want to escape our problems. And we love to navigate life with a minimum of problems. And sometimes we think, well, if I do really well, I'll miss all these problems. But the Bible doesn't suggest that's the case that we're going to experience in this life. As a matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, in verse 5, the very opposite it is stated for us as Christians. It says, you can be sure that the more you suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. So the Corinthian writer, Paul in Corinthians there, says the more difficulty you have, the more blessings you're going to get from God. Now, it's hard for me to think in those terms, and I'm sure it's hard for you to think in those terms, but that's the reality is that problems are going to be with us. They're going to and they're going to be showered upon us in this life as long as we're in this life. As long as we're living here in this world, we're not going to escape a period of complexities, difficulties. Only the joy and the comfort of uninterrupted joy and comfort will come only in heaven. So the question for you and I, and the thing I think that we can think about, is how are we going to handle life's problems? Since they're going to come, how are we going to handle those? And how do we deal with difficult people and uncomfortable situations? What do we say and how do we act in these times? How do we express our emotions and how do we control our emotions? The Bible has a word that describes a person who is able to do this. Of course, we know that Jesus was able to do that perfectly as he lived. But the Bible talks about a wise person. That's the person who can experience or can go through these difficulties and handle them in a way that's appropriate. And the book of Proverbs really is written for the purpose of helping us to be wise people that can navigate the difficulties of life in a manner that is appropriate for a child of God. In the passage that was read just for a few moments ago from the book of Proverbs states that that is the purpose of the book of Proverbs. You know, some books of the Bible don't give us an outlined purpose. But in the verses 2 through 7 of the book of the Proverbs, the writer of the book of Proverbs gives us his purpose of writing Proverbs. It says their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them to do what is right, just, and fair. The Proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance. By exploring the meaning in the proverbs and the parables, the words of the wise and the riddles. The fear of the Lord is a foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. So the writer of the book of Proverbs says he wrote Proverbs to impart wisdom to us so we can be wise and discerning individuals. So what I want us just to think tonight just a little bit about what it means to be wise, and then have this lesson to be a lesson to kind of encourage us as we read through the Proverbs, book of Proverbs. It won't be long in our daily Bible reading. We'll be getting to the book of Proverbs to see some of the things that we can gain from the book of Proverbs. One thing we're going to notice when we get to the section called the wisdom literature, it's very different than the literature of the first four books or even the history of the Old Testament. If with the section we've been reading now, the books of Moses, they're very much direct laws and statements or commands. When we get to the wisdom literature, we're going to see it's a different type of writing altogether. And I want to just maybe look at that a little bit tonight so we'll know how to approach the Proverbs as we get there. But a purpose of the Proverbs and a promise of the writer of the book of Proverbs, if we read these problems with the fear of the Lord and discernment, we will become wiser people. And I think that's a very important goal for us as we look at the book of Proverbs. So the very top of the list of the things that the book of Proverbs is about teaching people to be wise or teaching people wisdom. So I'm going to think just for a few moments about what wisdom is. Sometimes we think about wisdom, we think about, well, that's knowledge. But wisdom is more than just knowledge. It's not just abstract knowledge or being highly intelligent. Sometimes we think about a person who is highly intelligent. They know a whole lot of things. Or sometimes just to know a lot of things, we might know a lot of trivia. Some of us have accumulated over the years lots of mundane facts about things we've seen or we've heard, and lots of us remember ball players and their averages or their and these kind of things. That's just knowledge. That's trivia. That is not really wisdom as God describes it in the book of Proverbs, or wisdom as we'll be talking about tonight. So it's important for us to understand the nature of wisdom, the knowledge that's associated, if we're going to have a benefit from the book of Proverbs. So the first thing I want us to look at tonight are as we're looking at wisdom, what it really is. And the first thing I just kind of think wisdom is, it's the skill of living, or it's the knowing how to navigate life well. And that's really what I'm going to be kind of my goal to get us to see tonight, what wisdom really is. It's the skill in living and interacting with people, their problems and our problems, interacting well and navigating life well. So wisdom will entail the ability sometimes to avoid problems, but sometimes when problems cannot be avoided, it'll help us to handle those problems when we can't avoid them. Wisdom also includes the ability to interpret other people's speech or writing so that we can interact with them well. Now, we've had a lot about social media, and Sid had a good lesson on social media. Do you think all interaction on social media exhibits wisdom? Probably not. But we as Christians need to be trying to understand what people are saying and understanding what we're going to say, and so we can wisely interaction between peoples. As I say, wisdom's not purely intelligence, but intelligence or understanding is necessary for wisdom to function, but it's not the focus of wisdom. And one of the things I think is interesting in the book of Proverbs, this to me demonstrates that wisdom is not just intelligence. Proverbs attributes wisdom to animals. And I think it's an interesting section in Proverbs 30, verses 24 through 28. First of all, he said, there are four things on the earth that are small but unusually wise. Ants. They aren't strong, but they store up food all summer. rock badgers. They aren't powerful, but they make their homes among the rocks. I think he suggests there they don't have a jackhammer to dig them out of a hole, but they can make their home among the rocks. Locusts, they have no king, but they march in formation. Lizards, they're easy to catch, but they're found even in a king's palaces. Now, I think the idea of these proverbs is these animals aren't highly intelligent, but they are considered to be wise because they know how to navigate life. They've learned how to navigate the problems of life and be successful in what they're able to do because they have learned the simple things of navigating a life. So, to kind of look at a distinction between intelligence and being able to navigate life as the animals there, people with wisdom will have the abilities not only of knowing, but to have the wisdom of or understand how to control themselves. They'll have persistence. They'll have able to control their impulses, control their gratification. They will be able to keep distress from overcoming their ability to function and to think. They will be able to empathize, and they will always have hope, seeing that they're not overcome by the things that are around them. So biblical wisdom, I think, is not just knowing, but it is the skill to know how to accomplish what we need to accomplish as people and navigate life well in a good fashion. Next thing I want us to look at is just some of the words that he uses in these first seven verses of Proverbs that are associated with wisdom, and see if that can help us learn a little bit of what wisdom is. And the first word that he uses there is associated with wisdom in verse 2. He talks about the purpose is to teach wisdom and discipline. Discipline can also be, or discipline is a word that we recognize that focuses us upon something and corrects us back to something whenever we get off course. We often don't want to be disciplined. We want to do what we want to do, but the wise person is a person who is either self-disciplined or disciplined by others. There's a couple of Proverbs that I just want to mention along the line of discipline there. In Proverbs 12 and verse 1, he says, to learn, you must love discipline. It is stupid to hate correction. If you're going to be a wise person, if you're going to truly learn, you're going to have to learn discipline. Now, a lot of us have been corrected for the things that we did in our lives, and I remember growing up that many times my parents corrected me, and I had a few uncles and aunts and grandparents that corrected me when I said things that I shouldn't have said or did things that I shouldn't have done. And that helped me get back on the course of what I've toward wisdom. And I think that's his idea. Discipline is needed if we're going to be wise. We can't just run afoul or any direction we want to do. Sometimes the correction is not necessarily in way of words, but sometimes it has to be physical correction. In Proverbs 13 and verse 24, it says, those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children. Those who love their children care enough to discipline them. You know, I'm fairly convinced that a lot of times when we've acted foolishly in life, that life itself disciplines us. Have you ever said, hey, watch me do this? And almost inevitably when you say that, you're going to fall on your face. Does that happen to any of you besides me? Life will discipline us in a hard way sometimes like that. Well, sometimes we need the physical correction to see that we're acting stupid. And that will help us to act wise. So discipline is an essential partner of wisdom. Next thing we see in verse 3 of this passage is their purpose, speaking of Proverbs, is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives. Well, certainly we want to be successful. We have trouble striving or describing success, but he's talking about lives that are successfully navigating through this life so we can be with God. That's our goal, is to live a life that we can navigate and be successful. Another word that sometimes successful is translated to have insight. So that refers to us being able to, it gives the person who is wise the ability to recognize what is going on around him, to see what is going on around him, so he will successfully accomplish his task. The next word I want us to notice in this group of passages in the next verse, verse 4, it says, the Proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Some passages translate that knowledge and understanding. So wisdom will give us understanding. It talks about the simple and the young. I want to mention a couple of categories. We'll talk about this a little bit more later. But the simple are the people that don't understand. You just don't understand on this subject or this matter. You're simple in that. And a lot of times the young, they don't have understanding on lots of subjects. So the focus of the book of Proverbs is to train young people so they'll understand these things so they won't make the mistakes in life that we've made. So understanding and knowledge are two key elements of the idea of wisdom. True knowledge is always for a purpose and in relationship with other people, God, and creation. I've read that statement, and I think that's really important for us to understand. That true knowledge has a purpose. It's not just for trivia. It's not just to be acquired. But it has a purpose, and that purpose is our relationship with each other or our relationship with God. And so wisdom and knowledge have understanding. In the next idea that I want us to see is that it says the Proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment or discretion to the young. Discretion and discernment is the ability to differentiate the right way to handle life and the wrong way to handle life. Prudence is a word that's often associated with that. And prudence carefully considers a situation before rushing in. It implies a person is cool-headed about things. They don't just rush in. What's that song? The fools rush in. And that's kind of we understand that concept. So the another thing that about being wise is we have some discretion, some discernment, and some thought before we rush into things, so it's not just a rushing in. And then finally in this section here, we're looking at this section on what Proverbs is. It has this idea that the Proverbs are, I can't find my verse here. It says that Proverbs is right and just and fair. Proverbs is always, a wise person is always ethical. I think that's important for us to see that a wise person is ethical. And a wise person is one who is on the side of good. He's not on the side of evil. And as we go through the book of Proverbs, we're going to see the picture of these two women in the book of Proverbs as each one is trying to encourage a person to follow them. We have the woman of wisdom, and we have the woman of the world. And why wisdom is always on the side of good. And I think that's important for us to see. So those are characteristics of the person or of wisdom and characteristics that we need to try to have if we're going to be wise people and we're seeking to build, we're going to be wise people. Now, I want us now to think just a few minutes about some of the things, and when we start reading the Proverbs, how it differs from some of the writing of the law. We know when we read the Ten Commandments, they're pretty direct and they're pretty straightforward. You know, thou shalt not have any other gods before me, and all of the thou shalt nots, and you shall do this. When we come to the book of Proverbs and we read it, we already see from the first seven verses, there are going to be some wise sayings, there are going to be some riddles, and there are going to be some parables, and Proverbs themselves really mean they're not direct statements. And so the book of Proverbs and the wisdom literature in general trains us to think through something to come to a conclusion. It's training our minds to think based upon what is suggesting to us. And so Proverbs cannot always be taken as being absolutes. And I think a good example of this is in the 26th chapter of Proverbs. And it says, a proverb in the mouth of a fool, in 26th chapter verse 4, it says, don't answer the foolish arguments of fools, or you become as foolish as they are. Be sure to answer the foolish arguments of fools, and this is verse 5, or they will become wise in their own estimation. Now, you read those two verses back to back, and they sound contradictory. And if they were absolute commands, they would be contradictory. But the writer of the book of Proverbs is trying to get us to think about which situation it would be appropriate for us to answer a foolish question or a fool, and which situation would not. And I think it's, to me, it goes back to the verse 7 when we just looked at. He says, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. When we encounter a person that will not listen, despise instruction, then we're going to be wasting our time in answering them. But when we encounter a person who is indeed foolish, and it's interesting how the book of Proverbs uses the fool as that one who does not know, but we have fools in two categories, the one who will not listen, and we have the one who will listen. And so if the one who will listen, then we should answer them so he will not be wise in his own estimation. And we see Jesus doing this sort of thing in his ministry. We have the Pharisees, many times when Jesus interacts with them, he would not answer them their questions because they did not want an answer. They wanted to do theirs. But when he met the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, would you say that she was foolish, generally considering the scriptures? I guess we would. But he answered many of her questions and took a great deal of time with her trying to teach her so she would understand the scriptures. So if we look at the Proverbs and we look at this type of literature as the Proverbs, we're going to have to see that they're going to have to be applied in the context of which they were written, and they're not necessarily absolute statements. I think that's one thing that we'll have to observe or to learn about a proverb. The last thing I want to look at is in the last part of this reading here. And is who is who are these sayings addressed to, or what group are going to benefit from them, and how they're addressed to? In verses 2 and 3 of this proverb, I think that we can conclude that the Proverbs are generally addressed to all people, in the sense that he says he's writing these, the Proverbs of Solomon is to know wisdom and instruction, to discern, sing, understand, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteous, justice, and equity. And so they're generally written to all people to understand. But he seems to reference two groups of people specifically to which the Proverbs are addressed. One is in verse 4, to give prudence to the naive, or sometimes that's read in verse 4, to give understanding to the simple-minded. So the person who is naive or does not have understanding, the person who is neither wise nor foolish, but he just doesn't have understanding, then Proverbs is going to be beneficial to that person. And he's going to be able to receive wisdom from it. But the person, as we said before, the person who will not listen is not going to receive any instruction from it. And also he talks about the naive or to the youth. Sometimes the youth is our youth are considered naive or without understanding. And so the proverb is written for them. And we often encourage the young people to read the book of Proverbs, and it's good for that. But also in verse 5, he says, a wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. So it is also addressed to the person who is wise. And so from that perspective, I don't think we ever become so wise that we don't need instruction from God, that we don't need our understanding increased. And so we would say it's applicable for the young or the naive or the immature, we might call them. And there's great instruction for the wise or the mature, as we might call them. So the book of Proverbs is applicable to all of us, but we need to enter it with the mind that we're going to listen to God. Of course, in verse 7, all the sayings in the book of Proverbs, and some of them are quite humorous. If you start reading through the book of Proverbs, they're quite humorous. But they're all based upon a foundation of knowledge that is in the Lord. And that's his premise at the end of verse 7 there. Well, in first verse, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Really, the beginning of knowledge and understanding is it begins with God. And so if we're going to have a respect for God, if we're going to become wise from the Proverbs, because he says in the last half of verse 7, fools despise wisdom and instruction. In Proverbs 14 and verse 1, he says, only fools say in their hearts, there is no God. So people that despise instruction from God, and people that say there is no God, they're not going to get any wisdom from the book of Proverbs. And so when they read it, it's going to be of no benefit to them. So when we come to the book of Proverbs, and we read through it, and we try to work through the riddles, and some of those are riddles or wise sayings, we've got to look through for the application that he's trying to get us. But there are applications that will, if we learn the application, they will help us to navigate the problems of life. And so that's what I want us to suggest. We can become wise. We're going to have problems, but we can learn to navigate those problems in a good way by studying the Proverbs and learning the principles that are taught there for us to navigate our life. So I recommend the book of Proverbs to you highly. You'll have, once you read the book of Proverbs, you'll have some favorite proverbs. I will guarantee you that. And you'll have some things that you, when you get as old as I am, you'll say, boy, if I had just been wise enough to understand that when I was young as Austin over here, I'd have been a whole lot better off. Now, Austin understands a lot more of these things than I did. We'll understand that when we read the book of Proverbs. So I highly recommend it to you. This evening, we're going to have the opportunity now to offer the invitation of Christ to anyone in the audience who would like to become a Christian. As with the book of Proverbs there, the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The love of the Lord and respect for the Lord is the beginning of understanding. Also, the love and respect for the Lord is the beginning of our salvation. He is the center of everything. If you're not a Christian, you need to become a Christian by being baptized into Christ. If you need the prayers of the saints, we invite you as we stand and sing.